A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and the publisher of The Nation magazine, as well as a columnist in The Washington Post. Katrina, Navalny is dead. Navalny is buried. His mother weeps. But I was struck by the statements of support by Navalny from all across Russia, especially people who were extremely well-educated, well-read, commenting on his passing as something that Russia has seen too much of in the last 100 years. What is your measure of his significance now for, not for the resistance, but for the Russian people who are steeped in suffering all these centuries? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, his funeral was interesting. I mean, in the sense that it was held in his working class district, Marino, about 40 minutes from the center of Moscow, and it's where he and his family had lived for decades. And it's at a moment where there are other Russian and anti-war dissidents confronting a new and expanding wave of repression. So it comes at that time. I met Navalny when he ran for mayor of Moscow in 2013. He did well. He surprised the Kremlin, I believe. He got nearly 30%. I think that was a measure of Navalny's strength. It was in the cities. As was Grigory Yavlinsky, another opposition leader who's come out firmly against the war. It was Moscow, St. Petersburg. I spoke to a friend in Altai the other day after Navalny's death in the prison Arctic solitary camp. And she said her daughter asked what was up, but in the village, she had not heard much about Navalny. He did come to attention as a nationalist. He was ahead of He had been a member of the Social Democratic Party, Yabloko, but then was a nationalist. Then he came back to social democracy. But his real strength was as a populist digital dissident. He didn't like the word dissident, though, because he felt it was made you victim as opposed to actor. But he was a populist dissident who used digital means to create a fury among those who saw the palaces and the thieves and the crooks, as he called them, of Russian politics. I think there's a legacy. Funerals are very important in Russia as measures of kind of opposition. This is opposition to the war. And perhaps, you know, in anticipation, there is a presidential election in Russia, John, slated for March 17th. No cliffhanger, but there is the growing strength of the nationalistic Siloviki, the sort of militaristic part of Russia politics around Putin. There may be more of an attack on the Russian left and dissidents. Just the other day, prominent Russian activist Oleg Orlov, who was with the human rights group Memorial, was resentenced to 2.5 years. Boris Kagarlitsky, a friend, a prominent sociologist, labor activist, was resentenced to 5 years in prison after he had been released on fines. So we're seeing a wave of that. And I think Navalny will inspire, though I do think coming back to Russia lays a template that is very difficult for others to follow. Of course, he felt he would be irrelevant in some ways in the West. What was sad is it's measured in reliable polls that his influence inside Russia diminished each day he was in a cell, as you might imagine. He really relied on his digital life. He does have a team, but they're under stress too. They did some digital. But the anti-corruption piece, the populist anti-corruption piece, which was echoed by Prigozhin, of all people, is not going away and I think is compounded by a war which has preyed on the working class, those without privilege, those who aren't sitting in the cafes of Moscow or Kiev.
I first came across Navalny, not when he was running for mayor, but when he made that wonderfully funny movie about Putin's palace and managed to convey to the Russian people that that this was a grotesque conduct for a man who claimed to be simple and straightforward and doing the will of people. And I was reading at the time that that really upset Putin. Is that accurate? Was he bothered by
that? Well, first of all, another Nobel Peace Prize winner, Dmitry Muratov, editor of Novaya Gazeta, they did that story a year before Navalny. They didn't do it as digitally classic, you know, as he did. Did it bother Putin? I suspect Putin is bothered by satire, by humor, more than by straight-on argument or dissidence. So I do think it probably bothered. What did it bother Putin that Navalny was famous for calling the leadership of Russia crooks and thieves? I don't know. I do think there's a little bit of an overstatement that Navalny drove Putin crazy. But in any case, Navalny is in many ways a heroic figure. He will be a martyr, as have others who have perished at the hands of the Russian government.
Quickly, to your newspaper, The Washington Post. Zelensky in bind over how to draft more troops as Russian forces advance back to the battlefront. I have had anecdotes that there are draft-age men entering Canada, Montreal and Toronto, at the permission of the Canadian government. Nothing illicit here. But the mobilization seems at this point a bridge too far. How do you hear it?
I hear it from you. There might be an underground railroad of Ukrainians to Canada. There have been strong ties between the two countries. But I also think the mobilization issue is a trigger for just unrest and anger that is beyond, say, Navalny. But Russia has a similar problem. I read today, John, I don't know if you saw that, Russia's lost more men in the war than in the 10 years of the Afghan war. The mobilization in Russia is very tricky, too, because they've put in a lot of money. They're paying people 10 times a salary to fight. So I do think in Ukraine, where the war weariness is combining with a sense of being left adrift by Western countries who aren't going to give more funds, but even with the funds and the weapons, it's not clear that the country's not fully war-weary. There's also the fact that, you know, Macron issued this statement last week where he said, you know, we may need to send Western forces into Ukraine, eliciting a nuclear comeback from Putin, who said, you know, we would use the trigger for nuclear weapons if there are Westerners in our country. That we know there are already Westerners training and teaching on these sophisticated weapons and where that leads. But the mobilization, no question, John, we're seeing, I think, a new layer, a new level, a new time in this war, which has been so brutal.
How do you measure Washington? There's the isolationist school, but then there are those who want to support Ukraine. To what end? Do you pick up a mission statement from, we have about a minute.
I think calling the two views isolationist versus helping Ukraine is wrong, because at this stage, and to be humble about it, it's not clear that continuing to send weapons without an end strategy is helping Ukraine. It's going to cause the reconstruction of Ukraine to be more difficult, more costly, and we don't do well at that. We leave, we forget. So I think that's dangerous for Ukraine, which is counting certainly on Western support, if not weapons, but reconstruction. And I also feel, you know, that it's to say it's isolationist is wrong in the sense that it's people seeking a way forward that is not endless military weapons. But as we learned from the Wall Street Journal files, they've leaked. The Istanbul discussion was real a couple years ago. There was a real path. And the fact that it may be unruly and unwelcome on both sides doesn't mean there isn't more energy to be put into resolving a war and not fueling it.
Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine and a columnist at The Washington Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.